Today, I'm actually going to be talking about an African gray parrot named Bud, and what Bud has in common with John the Baptist, and how a parrot and a Baptist demonstrate the single-minded focus that we need to help prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Are you with me? All right, let's pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, and in the watching, in the hoping, in the longing, in the sorrow, in the singing, in the rejoicing. God, we ask that you would speak to us by your word in these Advent days and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen. All right, well, I was looking around at some unusual headlines, and I found this 2016 British newspaper headline, and it really caught my attention. And the headline reads, "Parrot may be used as witness in murder trial after repeating, 'Don't shoot.'" Okay, so this got my attention, and I had to read this article. And so after reading the headline, I'm like, I gotta see what happens here. And it turns out that the prosecution, they're actually having to try to debate and decide, can they use a parrot as a witness on the stand? Okay, this is for real, like I'm not kidding. This is in Detroit, Michigan, because this parrot kept speaking and repeating the last words of the victim of the crime. Now, just like imagine for a moment with me a parrot on a witness stand, okay? In a courtroom with lawyers asking it questions about a murder, right? This is what we're talking about here. And so apparently what happened is a husband and wife got into this heated argument over his unpaid bills, and this guy had a crippling gambling debt. And so they got in an argument about it, and the African gray parrot named Bud was an eyewitness to this whole thing. He's just sitting there watching. Now, African gray parrots, I didn't know this, they're extremely intelligent. They live about 40 to 60 years. They're prized for their ability to mimic human speech. They're so smart that they can actually learn number sequences, and they can associate human voices with faces. And so many people, when they look at these birds, they actually say that they think that their cognitive abilities rival that of a young child. So the logic here is, well, if a young child can witness something and be a witness to a murder, why can't a parrot, right? And so they're debating this, and it turns out that the wife was accused of shooting her husband before attempting to try to take her own life, and after the murder, the parrot Bud kept repeating the last words of both the husband and wife. Now, this is incredible. You have to hear this. Repeating the last words of both the husband and the wife in male and female voices. Okay? So they knew exactly which was which, right? And so the parrot kept squawking over and over in the presence of law enforcement authorities. He would say, "Get out, where will I go, and don't, word I can't use in church, shoot." Okay? And the parrot kept repeating these things over and over and over again. And so the former wife of the victim, who now takes care of the parrot, believes that those were the last words that the victim spoke before he was shot. Now you're probably asking, like, what in the world does this have to do with Advent? Like, as Rob lost his mind. As far as you know, I haven't. But there's a reason. So Bud and John the Baptist, they both witnessed something beyond themselves. They both pointed to truths that were beyond themselves, all right? And that's where we're going with this. And so let's get into it. Here we go. From John's Gospel, I think you'll see where we're going. Right in the first sentence, probably. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, and then we're going to skip over to 19 to 28. You can see for yourself if I'm crazy, all right? "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a," what? "As a witness, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, 'I am not the Messiah.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you're neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them. He said, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." And this took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Word of the Lord. Now, I love the beginning of this story. It just says, there was a man sent by God whose name was John. Like, okay, one of the more boring verses that you could read. Now, it's those sentences that usually we just look right past. This happened to me last week. I read the first sentence in the beginning of the good news. And normally we just go right past that because we want to get to the good news. This sentence says a lot. I love sentences like this in Scripture because they keep me believing. And it keeps it in the forefront of my mind that God is a missionary God. That God is a sending God. That God's dream and rescue plan for the whole world, the fulfillment of all the Scriptures, is on his way in Jesus. And in order to get us prepared to receive him, God sent a man named John. That's what it says. And so right away we note that this man, John, he already has this sense of divine purpose, a mission that he was sent by God to accomplish. It's this unique mission to get the world prepared for the most important visit that we'll ever see. And so John's purpose is very simple. It was to be and to bear witness. This is what John's purpose was. Now, Bud, the parrot, witnessed this crime, while John is the first human witness in the Gospels that the Messiah was coming. And so it's been said by many that all of our lives, they bear witness to something or to someone. So it's a fruitful question we should ask ourselves. What do our lives bear witness to? What do our lives bear witness to? They're bearing witness to something. In this regard, John was a simple man. His life was to bear witness to the one who was coming after him, the one who was greater than him. And the reason that God sent John on mission was this. This is what it says. I love this. It says, so that all might believe. So that all might believe. And it got me thinking that all people, God wants all people to come to faith, to place their trust in Jesus, the Word made flesh, God, among us. And it got me thinking about, if this is John's purpose and we look at this text, I can't help but wonder, is this not exactly why God sends us? Is this the reason why God sends the church, so that all might believe? Now, when you bear witness to something, you're pointing to something beyond yourself. And so Bud, the parrot, was pointing to a murder that he witnessed, and John points us to Jesus. Now, when I was growing up, my mother rightfully taught me that pointing is rude, right? Everybody? Hand gestures can be pretty risky. And so, like, I was looking at this because I find this kind of stuff fun. But if you're shopping for a Persian rug, anyone have any Persian rugs? All right, so if you were shopping for a Persian rug and you went in, for instance, and you gave the seller two thumbs up, bad move, right? Because you would actually be telling the owner of the shop where to put his rug, which is probably not the response you're looking for. Hand gestures, like I said, they can be risky. You have no idea. Like, pointing is rude. Like, my mom taught me that when I was a kid. And so, but here's the thing. A disciple's job is to what? Is to point. This is what this text is saying. A disciple's job is to point to something beyond ourselves, to Jesus. This is probably one of the few, if not the only time, where pointing is not rude. And so maybe the most important thing that John, the writer of the gospel, wants us to understand, and that John the Baptist is actually demonstrating for us in his life, is this. It's important that disciples know who they are and who they're not, right? It's important that we know who we are and who we're not. And so John the Baptist makes it really clear. He knows exactly who he is, and he knows exactly who he isn't. You know, my favorite Bible teacher is this guy, Dale Bruner. He actually, before he retired, he taught at Whitworth University, where Madison goes right there. And this is legendary teacher, and I wish he was still there while you were there, sorry. But when he used to teach this text, I've heard him say that he would always start with this exercise. So we're going to try it, all right? We're going to make sure you're awake, and it's really easy, I promise. Here's how it goes. So, like, don't overthink it. Don't worry. If you don't have to participate, if you don't want to, we're not going to force anyone to do anything they don't want to do. But you're going to answer, if you care to, turn to someone and answer this. Three things that you know that you are, and three things that you know that you are not. You're only going to have 1 minute. It's going to be super easy. Ready? Go. 1 minute. Three things you are and three things you are not. All right, how did we do? Was it easy or was it hard? Anybody willing to share what they are and what they are not? Well, can I have one person that would be just willing to throw them out there?
She's not Corinne.
I called you Corinne? I said Madison.
No, she's not Corinne. That's one thing that's not
Wow. I thought maybe I called her the wrong name and you were just calling me out in front of everybody. That would have been horrible. She is not.
I would have gone back to Spokane.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, what else? Someone throw something out. What are you or what are you not? Anyone? Try one.
Patient.
Not patient? Or you are? You are patient. Okay. All right, good. Anything else?
Not a speaker.
Not a speaker? Okay. Good. Was this easy or hard? Yes, Michael.
I'm ready for winter break.
You are ready for winter break. Good. Very good. All right, perfect. Now, was it easy or hard to come up with these three things that you are and are not? Easy, raise your hand. This was a piece of cake. Was it difficult for anyone? I'm curious. It was a little challenging? All right. So now we go back to John, right? Now, John knows exactly who he is and who he isn't. Here's what he says. He says the three things he says he is not. John says, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah, I'm not the prophet. Now, you got a picture, like, the guys that show up from Jerusalem. I love, Dale Bruner calls them the truth squad. I think this is, like, perfect. Like, they're coming to check up on John the Baptist. And they want to find out, like, what is going on. They're the religious establishment. They've come to check up on this crazy guy who's attracting huge crowds. He's preaching these alarming sermons. He's telling people to make these major changes in their lives before the Messiah gets there. These guys, they want to know, like, what right does John have to be doing the things he's doing? Like, who does this guy think he is? This is what we have to understand. This is really what they want to know. It's like, they want to know, what are his credentials? Like, where did he do his internship? You know, like, where did he get his seminary degree? You know, who did he study under? This is the kind of things they want to know. They want to know, you know, who does this guy think he is that's kind of bucking the system? He's doing things without their permission. They don't like this, right? And so they ask him, they say, who are you? Really what they're saying is, who do you think you are? This is what they're asking. And this is what he says. You know, who do you think you are? And he says, well, I know who I'm not. I'm not the Messiah. You know, the more popular the person, the greater the temptation to think too highly of yourself. John, even with this kind of like rock star status right now, he knows, he says, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the light, he said. He was not the coming Messiah, but he said, I know who is. Then he says, well, I'm not Elijah. Now, the reason he says this, they ask him this, the final promise of the Hebrew Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, this comes from this promise from the book of Malachi, that the great prophet Elijah would return right before the coming of the Messiah. And so, naturally, if John's not the Messiah, maybe they think, oh, maybe he's Elijah, come back to prepare us for the coming of the Messiah. He says, no, that's not who I am. And then finally, he says, I'm not the prophet. And so this one's a little bit more cryptic, probably a reference to Moses. Elijah wasn't the only great Hebrew prophet. God had also promised that he would raise up a prophet like Moses to lead the people. And so they're thinking, all right, maybe he's the Messiah, maybe he's the prophet Elijah. He's not that. Maybe he's this, you know, prophet that God is going to raise up that's like Moses. And again, he refuses the title. And so knowing who we're not actually helps us better understand who it is that we are. If John refused these offices, then who is he? Now, John not only knows who he's not, he also knows exactly who he is. And this is what he said. John said these three things. He said, I am a voice. I am a baptizer. I am a preacher. This is what he says. He's not the Messiah, but he knows and points to away from himself to Jesus. He repeated the prophet Isaiah's words. He said to make straight the way of the Lord. This is one of the greatest phrases in Scripture. It's like to make a straight shot at our hearts. This is the way I like to think about this. To make a straight shot for Jesus to our hearts. And so, you know, like to clear away all of the obstacles and the things that get in the way of receiving Jesus. This is what he's saying, like, get those things out of the way in order to receive Christ. Now, we also talked about this last week a little bit, but I'll add here that we kind of clear the way for Jesus. This was kind of the point of last week's message in our lives by honest reflection of who we are and who we're not. And so honesty will always lead to repentance for the ways in which we get life wrong. And so honesty will force us to turn around, what Scripture last week said, to turn away from sin, to turn toward Jesus and the coming kingdom of God. And so John, he says, he uses his voice to preach Jesus. And then he offered this kind of water baptism, this ritual cleansing, a seal of his message that signified that someone had made this honest turning around of their life. And so understanding who we are and who we're not is actually really helpful. It puts things in perspective. On the one hand, it keeps us from having too high a view of ourselves. It keeps us from pointing people to us. On the other hand, it also says that we're pretty valuable and important because we also need to reject the kind of opposite view, which is to think too lowly of ourselves. And so what we see is that as disciples, we need to be kind of right in that sweet spot where John was, and what he says is a people on mission with a divine purpose to point people away from ourselves and to Jesus. Now, I think just this thought is amazing. How humbling is this for John? Jesus is probably among that crowd. Think about John standing there talking and teaching and pointing people away from himself to Jesus, and Jesus is there in that crowd. And John says, like, they don't even know who he is. And he's right there with them during this time. Imagine what that must have been like for John. These are just the things that go through my mind. He had to be just, his mind had to be just kind of blown in that instance. And so I was thinking about this a little bit. You know, John shows us this extraordinary humility that can help guide us through the Advent season. And here's what we learn. I think the thing that kind of stuck with me the most. And so Steve gave me this fancy flashlight thing. It's really bright. If you look at it, it's going to hurt. I thought I was going blind earlier when he first turned it on. Now we are, this is what John is teaching us. He's teaching us that we're not the light, but that we are the lamp. Okay? This is kind of the thing I took away. And so here's a picture that I took a couple weeks ago. I was walking my dog Winston really early in the morning. It was before sunrise. And I kind of got out on the trail in front of our house, and it seemed like every other morning walk that I take him on. You know, like he's going crazy at the door, he's taking this leash, he's pulling it off the hook, he's telling me that he wants to go. Like, this is every day, all right? It just seemed like every other day. He's jumping around, going nuts, telling me he wants to go. I take him outside. I wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary. I expected the usual things. I expected him to leave deposits for me on the trail that I would have to pick up. I expected him to try to yank my arm off when he saw a rabbit. I expected him to play with other dogs. I expected him to jump and bite the leash and try to pull it out of my hand. These are things he does to me, you know, every day. It makes our walks fairly entertaining. And on this day, right at this moment, the sun had not yet come up over that hill. And so I was in the dark, and this moment, the sun first comes over the hill. I could actually feel the warmth of these rays on my skin. I turn to take a look at it, and that's what I saw. But here's the thing. The reason I think this is interesting is there's a hawk in the picture. You see that? I didn't see it. Never saw it. I was turning to look at the sun, and then you see the moon, and then you see the hawk, things that I never would have seen if it had remained dark. And so when I took the picture, I didn't even see the hawk. I didn't see the hawk until I actually put my finger on the picture and looked at it. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's a hawk. And I looked, and there it was, right in front of me in the dark. I never would have seen that. And so John the Baptist, I think this is interesting. It strikes me that, you know, like without the light illuminating that hawk, I never would have seen it. And so what John seems to be saying is he seems to be saying, like, we can choose where we shine the light. John says, I'm not the light, but I'm pointing people to Jesus, who is the light. And we get this, we have this choice. Like John the Baptist, we can choose where we want to shine this light. We choose what our lives will illuminate and what will be kept in the dark. And so we can illuminate, and this is what I think he's trying to tell us not to do. This is what a lot of people do. They take the light and they shine it on themselves, right? Look at me, look how awesome I am. And the light is taken and it's turned back and it's focused on us. And so what John says is we have this choice to take the light and to shine it outward, to shine it on Jesus, to illuminate Jesus. And that's what John said his whole purpose in life was, to illuminate Jesus. His life mission was to help make Jesus visible to a dark world. John was the first human witness that pointed the world to Jesus. All of Jesus' followers, you and I, we come behind, we share the same task. We have a choice where our light will go. We can illuminate ourselves, or we can turn the light to illuminate Jesus. And so God is still a missionary God. God is still a God who sends his people, his church, you and I, on mission to be witnesses to Jesus, who has come to save, and Advent says will come again to judge. And so we're witnesses that point beyond ourselves. We use our voice. We use our actions of loving service in a world that Jesus came to reach. And so that's why I like Bud the Gray Parrot. You see where I was going with Bud the Gray Parrot? Mm-hmm. All right. He helps us understand John and our purpose in the world today. He did his job. She was convicted. Bud did his job. He witnessed a crime. He used his voice to tell the story. We use our voice. We use our gifts. We use the resources that God has given us, all for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of his coming kingdom. If we have one job, one mission, it's the same one that John had. Point people to Jesus. To bear witness to just the unfathomable love of God in Jesus Christ. To let our light shine that others might see Jesus illuminated. The question for each of us is a pretty simple one to finish. How will we help others see Jesus? How will we help others see Jesus? Let's pray. Gracious and most loving God, you sent John to point the world to Jesus so that all people might come to know of your saving love. By the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit among us, help us to shine the light on Jesus so that all those who walk in darkness may experience the light who is Jesus himself. Amen.